And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. This is episode 34, and I am your host, William, known as Poetic Soul 44, and I'm joined with my co-host, Stuart,
known across the internets as Casual Terror,
and Henry.
What's going on, people? It's Knox.
Alrighty, we were supposed to record yesterday, but some stuff happened. But yesterday, the February 27th was our first, or like a year since we recorded our quote, you know, pilot episode, which we called it a pilot because we knew it wasn't going to be good enough to call, you know, official number one. But so we've been recording for a year, off and on, but you know, obviously we haven't been doing it 52 weeks in a row because we're on 34, but we have done, you know, longer episodes, you know, cut them in half, like the Doctor Who ones. We did the special E3 ones. We did, we've got about, I think, 40 different files up there, and some are really long. So I think we have enough content to justify a year's worth as far as length goes.
Yeah.
I mean, the last few podcasts, well, not last week. Last week was rather short, but shorter than usual. But we've gone up to like 3 hours. But so I just wanted to say that, and I guess this is not for a while. This is not on our list for a while, but I guess it's a good way to start it. Stuart, I think you put what's changed for you after 1 year of podcasting?
Yeah. I just kind of like, you know, we've been podcasting for 1 year. Kind of like, what's changed for us? Kind of, how has this podcast been, you know, this podcast has been in our lives for, you know, this 1 year. And how has your life changed because of it?
Do you want to go first or do you want me?
You go first. I asked a quick question.
Already? Just being polite. I think the big thing is our format. We've changed our format so many different times. We've changed the format. We've changed the intro a few times, which I still like the first intro, but that's neither here nor there. It's just, I think, it's taken out a lot more time, you know, a lot more time because, you know, we record for maybe two hours to 3 hours, maybe more, depending on, you know, just the situation. But, you know, it takes a lot of planning throughout the week, you know, looking up stuff, thinking of topics, you know, especially like our I recommend section where we've had like each pick something to recommend, and we have to watch the ones everyone else has picked, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, a few episodes of a TV show or a movie or whatever, you know. So I would just basically say, you know, a lot less time to do certain things,
yeah.
like play video games or, well, yeah, or watch other things that we normally would watch.
Okay.
What about you, Stuart?
Yeah, it's kind of the same, you know. I mean, yeah, our format has definitely changed quite a few times over the year. You know, I think we got something that definitely works. You know, just some days I remember just kind of dreading, like, oh, I've got to record tomorrow. Oh, okay.
I feel that way too, but then once we start to actually record, I get into it. We start to geek out and have a blast.
Yeah, once we actually hit the record button, I'm fine. And, you know, after the episode, I was like, oh, I feel better now.
Because I have another week till I have to do that again.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, lately it's, you know, I've been looking forward to recording.
Yeah.
You know, I think what was kind of the hardest part was to actually pick a day that we could all record on.
Oh, definitely.
You know, just take, you know, a couple hours out of the week that everybody can record on and just do it that day.
And when it was just you and me, it don't know why, it seemed harder than after we brought Knox on, because we would, Tuesday, okay, Thursday, Saturday, you know.
what didn't help was me having two jobs.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that really got into, you know, researching for the podcast, plus doing the podcast. That really didn't help at all. And I wasn't getting paid enough to put up with the crap that was going on there, so down to one.
Yeah.
I have one more thing. I think in the last year, we have become even more geeky than we were.
Very true, because before we started, you know, a year ago, I didn't read comic books. Like, I just hadn't read a comic book.
What?
And, yeah.
That's hard to believe, but yeah.
Comic book. Like, I knew, you know, I knew the history of Spider-Man. I knew stuff that wasn't in shows and stuff. I just knew it. I don't know how. I just knew it. But now, I'm actually reading comic books. Like, and what doesn't help is that there's no comic book shop in my town.
Yeah, that's rough.
Actually, yesterday, I subscribed to Marvel.com.
Oh.
So now I have unlimited digital comic books.
So it's unlimited, like, yes. You can read, you can really read as many as you want, or?
Yes.
Okay, do they have newer stuff, or?
Because
I've heard
they're not, like, they don't come out with the digital stuff, like, it's like a couple months later.
Okay, so it's not day and day with the street date?
No, it's a couple months later.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No, but, you know, I'm trying to read from Civil War on, which is, you know, 2008. So I've got some time to go.
Yeah. I know for one thing, I hadn't watched Firefly before, and that was a big thing. I can't believe I was stubborn, and cuz I kept hearing so many people talk about I've said this before. I kept hearing so many people talk about Firefly that I was like, "Really? It's only one season, and it's not even a long season. It can't be that great." You know, people kept just hyping it up, and, you know, but that's definitely something great. And like I've said also, you know, our I recommend section, really, because there's so much in the geek universe that, you know, it's, you know, we all can't just watch everything, and it's pretty great.
As much as we would like to.
Oh, definitely.
Can't
happen. And it's great for, you know, one of us to be like, oh, you have to watch this. You know, I want to talk about this. This is pretty awesome. I think you would like it. And, you know, we end up liking it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically we've become bigger geeks, which I didn't think that was possible, but.
Well, I mean, I got a question for both of you guys, because I've only been doing it for, you know, for actually a little bit. How do you guys feel, I guess, podcasting has changed you guys? Like, as far as, like, because I know, you know, in the beginning, I usually didn't listen to myself. Like, I, you know, we just record, and I would just go on. Like, but do you find yourself kind of, I guess, refining your speech or certain things you try to be a little bit more knowledgeable about, or just you as a person? Like, do you think it's, you know, it's changed certain things about you?
No, but seriously, I do. I edit it, of course, so I hear, I listen to it no matter what. You know, a lot of podcasters are like, I don't listen to my stuff. Well, I edit it, so I have to. But
don't listen to our show.
I really find myself saying and yeah, you know, like, you know, and stuff a lot, and I'm trying to work on that. It's the hardest thing, basically changing the way you're. Speeches, but I think we've become a lot more comfortable talking, you know, doing the podcast since our very first, or since the pilot, because, oh god, going back to listen to the pilot was rough.
Oh. So do you think by listening to yourself it actually helped with that, or, you know, like, it kind of pushed you to kind of, I guess, work more on those type of things, and do you see you kind of adapting those skills to normal life now? Because I know
me,
I do, like, you know, like now I'll try to, you know, formulate my words a little bit more clearly, and I'll kind of listen to myself. Then I'll kind of use that, you know, when I'm actually talking now, and it's helped
me,
out.
for me, it hasn't necessarily been like the main thing to, you know, main focus for me, but it hasn't been the best learning tool. I mean, I know the types of problems I have speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we got, what was the award we got for Angry Mailman? The AMP awards that they made fun of us for.
Yeah.
I know I have
stutter.
Yeah. And you know that I have an explanation for mine, but that's, you know, that's a, for a different, you know, podcast or whatever. But I've basically just, like I said before, I'm taking a word or voice and diction class to basically improve my speaking abilities, because, you know, I guess you may call me vain, but I think I have, you know, I have an interesting personality and an interesting look on certain topics, but it's pretty hard to describe, you know, put those in words the right way without, you know, stuttering or saying words like, yeah, you know, because I tend to talk before I actually think half the time. Because I'm so passionate about what I'm, you know, what I'm talking about that I get, I get ahead of myself. So basically, you know, the podcast has helped me, you know, learn what problems I need to, and I'm actually taking steps, you know, away from the podcast to improve, not just for the podcast's sake, but for personal use.
Yeah, well, my problem is that my mind goes way too fast. Like, by the time I actually open my mouth, in my mind, I'm already done saying the sentence. And which I'll leave out, you know, I'll have full conversations in my mind and just go from there, which makes the other person really confused. Like, I'll just leave out how I got to that point that I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
And, like, my mouth just can't keep up.
So, next question. How has the celebrity status changed both of you guys? You know, all the, you know, all the accolades and all the, you know, people cheering for you and all the fans and stuff like that, you know.
We have fans. I mean, my mom doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't really think we have any fans.
Right.
But I don't know. I like the fact that other people will ask me to be on their podcast so I can talk about things with you know, other people. Like, we were on the future technology show of Who Am I Radio, and you know, that was really good. I really enjoyed that. Basically just chatting with other podcasters. I wouldn't say celebrity fame or whatever podcasting, but it makes people aware that we're into podcasting. We know what podcasting is, so if somebody needs a guest or whatever, they can say, hey, you want to come on? Because they know you have Skype, they know you have a headset, they know, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting, because, you know, a couple years ago, listening to podcasts, I would always be like, oh, it'd be so awesome to be on such and such podcast to talk about, you know, and, you know, present day, we're on a bunch of different podcasts. I mean, it got to a point where I was on like 4 different podcasts in 1 week. Pretty crazy, but yeah, Stuart.
Well, I can't say I have that problem, because even on our own show, I sometimes I'm quiet. I just let you two just go.
Yeah, you are, and I try to make you talk. I don't know if you noticed that, but
yes, I have. And thank you. Just sometimes I just can't get in word. But you know, that's. I mean, I don't think any of that has gone to my head or anything, if that's what you're thinking. Just like, to me, like, we're not even recording. Like, we're just a couple guys talking.
Well, that's the feel of the show. That's the feel we wanted to get on the show. That's how we wanted it to initially be when we had the idea.
Yeah, true. But, you know, that's...
Yeah, but I think all shows, you know, kind of, you know, evolve. Even some of the bigger ones, I mean, that I listen to, you can go back and listen to theirs, and they were, you know, pretty much exactly the same. You know, it's just, you know, shows evolve over time. People come, people go, people grow, you know, in their own skin as far as podcasting goes. And I think it just becomes something different. And, you know, when it becomes something different, you know, you make adjustments and you keep growing. So, you know, just like anything else, you learn.
Yes. I also have to add, my stress level has probably, you know, raised a lot. Fucking Pamela and Skype.
And back in those early days, there was some stress there, too.
Oh, especially, like I mentioned, the Doctor Who episode when it messed up and we had to do that all 4 hours of recording, and we had to do it the next day.
Man.
And we did it.
And we did it.
And my golly, was new stuff.
Yeah, and we were adding new stuff to it. But, yeah, definitely, it's been crazy. And we actually called it quits, during the summer and started back up. And yeah, glad we did. And I don't see us calling it quits anytime soon. So
no,
I'm enjoying it. We've got a schedule set pretty much. So, any more questions on Ox or?
Oh no, I'm good. I'm good.
Alrighty.
Okay. I have a quick question. You know, it's not really about, you know, podcasting for a year, but, when you tell people what we're doing right now, people who you know would have no idea what a podcast is, how do you explain it to them?
I always tell them, I always say, I have an internet radio show because they understand the internet. Yeah. Because they understand the internet and they understand radio. And, you know, pretty much even your average Joe can kind of put those two things together and say, hey, well, I may have to hop on the internet in order to hear this radio show. So, you know, that's usually what I say. I don't even say podcast. I don't even say that. I just usually just say, I got an internet radio show. Check us out. You know, listen to us. We're at da 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 da. You can go straight to the website. And that helps out a lot just by, you know, posting the show up on like the website so they can go straight to the website and pull it up and, you know, bam, it's right there. Or they can scroll down a couple spaces link, and it's right
link,
there.
Click a link and it takes you straight to iTunes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
I try not to say podcast because it's like I was listening to another podcast and they were like, yeah, it's weird whenever I ask people if they want to be on my podcast because it's almost like, yeah, my mom will come pick us up and take us and, you know, basically just the word podcast to average day people who aren't geeks or real techie like us. It really kind of sounds like the bad type of geek, like the stereotypical, like 80s, you know, 80s D&D type geeks.
Yeah, do you get some of the people that kind of take offense to it, like, are you trying to make me feel dumb or something? I don't know what a podcast is. You know, you get that type of reaction sometimes. So I just stop. I just say internet radio.
Yeah. I don't tell anybody in real life. No. I just it's never really come up, honestly. I mean, I don't have too many friends at the moment locally, and the ones I do, they know I podcast, but they don't listen, and I'm kind of glad they don't listen. Like when I tell my parents or whatever, I'm like internet radio show, basically, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
But alrighty, I guess we can
listen to the Geeks Who Learn podcast.
Oh, nice. I guess we can jump into some video game topics. I guess the Dragon Age 2 demo. I know a lot of people were. This demo is, I've heard very mixed things. I've heard some people say it was really great, and I've heard some people say it was horrible. I canceled my pre-order.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Dragon Age purists that, just like the JRPG fans, they just don't like change. I'm extremely high on this demo. Like, I just started playing Dragon Age 1 because Blue Man finally convinced me to go ahead and play Dragon Age 1. So I'm charting through it, man, and you know, I got two characters. I got my Elvish Mage and I have my Human Warrior. But this Dragon Age 2 demo is, when I tell you it's night and day, it's a complete overhaul of that engine. Like from graphics to the gameplay to the selection menu and how you correspond with your characters. Real time fighting this time, like it's actually in real time. how it's kind of designed and set up is it's kind of set up just like Dragon Age 1, but you can run around in real time and you just tap the button. So wherever your power is, you have a quick key for it. You know, you just mash on it and it's instant gratification, which is right up my alley. So I mean, what did you guys think of it?
Well, that's what it's like on the console. See, I played it on the console and on the PC. The PC plays a lot like the first one did, but
yeah, with the hotkeys.
Yeah, well, the first one, the PC was the way to go.
Yeah.
So with Dragon Age 2 being similar, I'm fine. But playing it on the console, I really liked it. Like, I can almost see myself buying two copies, you know, getting the Steam version and then an Xbox 360 version.
Oh, wow.
Or don't you mean two copies of the Steam version?
No. not yet. Yeah, wait until the edition where all the DLC is released, then I might get it again. But I mean, just the difference between how much the PC and the console plays differently is night and day. Like, you almost think there were two separate games, but they're not.
Exactly.
I really tried to get into the first one, but I just couldn't. I really couldn't. It just seemed it didn't seem like it was for the console. It felt like I needed a mouse and keyboard for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not even that it didn't feel like it was for the console. It just felt, because I played it, and this is what messed me up when I played Dragon Age. I played Dragon Age 1 before after I played Mass Effect. So I was completely spoiled with the, you know, with the whole leveling system. You know, it's easy kind of jump into. You can go in, instant gratification combat system, and Dragon Age just kind of took you back to like the Baldur's Gate KOTOR type design where everything was kind of like, wait on this and your turn's going to come and you press this button. And even down to like the graphics, I mean, I'm sorry, the graphics in Dragon Age 1 were just atrocious to me. Like, I was like, what is this? And I got completely turned off of it because of how it just felt all around. But after playing the Dragon Age 2 demo and listening to everybody talk about it, I'm almost willing to just char through both of my characters, just char through it, play as much of the DLC as I can, and just don't look back and go straight into Dragon Age 2 because I want that save game.
Now, will it actually transfer over to the second one? Because I've heard that it won't.
Yeah, it's yes and no. Like, your characters that you had, I mean, this is just from what I've heard and from what I've read on BioWare. Your characters won't transfer over from what you had, but what they did within the world will change what your Dragon Age 2 experience will be like. That's what I've heard. Like I said, I haven't finished Dragon Age 1, so I don't know exactly what changes might take place based on what you did. But they said all of your decisions will change that world, because I think Dragon Age 2 takes place some odd, maybe like 100 years after or something like that, after Dragon Age 1. But what you did...
I was kind of confused about that part, because like it talked about the invasion of whatever that town is. I forget that name of that town. Lordering?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Wasn't that invasion in 1, like at the beginning of 1? Cuz it talked about the invasion at Orshagar. That is the beginning. And then a little bit after that, your character goes to Lordering and then there's an invasion there. And then
yeah, I remember that there
picks up like right there.
Yeah, I remember that there was, but I don't remember which one it was, but they basically just break it down and say, you know, things within the Dragon Age world has changed or will be changed based on your character, based on whether, you know, you're a Grey Warden or so on and so forth.
Yeah, because like you said, it is like 100 or more years after the first one. That's what I've heard.
Right. I mean, so some of the events can repeat themselves because, of course, you have different guilds and factions that rise to power again and stuff like that. Like I say, I'm just speculating. I haven't even finished Dragon Age 1 yet. But you have, you know, stuff like that can kind of reoccur within that world itself. But, you know, I just want to see, I guess, the world that I kind of played in, how did I affect it, which is kind of cool. And see, that's kind of cool also is because it's actually kind of smart, because you get to play with a whole other character now. You get to have a whole new fresh party and everything. and kind of go through that stuff all over again with a fresh new thing, because it's not transferring directly from space to space, from your old character to your old characters now in this new space. It's something totally new.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
About the demo, did you find the ogre hard?
No, not really. Not with the new combat system. Yeah, really? Because
it took me four tries on the console and two tries on the PC.
What class did you have? Did you have a mage or a rogue or
on the console? It was a warrior.
Okay, yeah. See, I had a warrior. I just kept running around, and then I would kind of wait till he does his little attack, and I just kept mashing that Y button, and then the other power. I forget what it's called, but it's the X button. I just kept mashing that. Wait till it recharged. Kept moving out the way. Just kept jumping back, going back and forth.
Well, see, I was trying to do it with everybody living through the battle.
Oh yeah.
Because one system that I really liked in Dragon Age 1 was the tactics system.
Yeah.
Because you could tell the characters that you're not controlling. Hey, when your health gets this low, take a health potion.
Right.
When your
mana
gets this low, take a mana potion.
Yeah, that's one thing that I do.
That system is still in the game, but you can't do the potions.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, no, that's how I kept my entire party alive.
Hmm. So both of you like the demo?
Love it.
Yes.
That's interesting, because like I said, I've heard various different opinions. Like, liked it, hated it, canceled pre-order, got something else. Yeah, I mean.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think Palladian. Yeah, it's Palladian, because on his gamer tag, he actually has a pronunciation key.
Yeah, that's the syllables. I've seen that.
But he canceled his pre-order and he picked up Bulletstorm.
Oh wow, that's I
guess he didn't like it.
That's geek blasphemy right there, man.
We'll get into Bulletstorm later. But I've heard a variety of different podcasts, people saying I wasn't digging it, or people who were digging it like you guys. So I'm really kind of confused. Like I said, I couldn't get into the first one. It seemed slow paced, very very slow paced for me.
I can kind of see that, but
yeah,
I like slow games.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, it just seemed like it was not meant for a controller.
Dragon Age 2 is.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's definitely what I've heard, that Dragon Age 2 works a lot better it was built for the controller, basically. But, we got, if we're done with that, don't we have something else related to?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Dragon Age, just go right into the more Dragon Age talk. Did you guys hear that Felicia Day is doing that series with BioWare called Dragon Age Redemption?
I've just saw it on the show notes.
Yeah, apparently I missed it, because apparently it aired on February 16th on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And of course, thereafter, they're playing it on game trailers and also on Spike TV, which is a part of them. It aired on the 24th, I believe. I'm sorry, they posted it on the 24th. But it's gonna be another series running parallel with what she's already doing. But it's gonna be based in the Dragon Age world. So she, BioWare contacted her, and they kind of, I guess, brainstormed and kind of sat down and just made a whole little, fictional side webisodes about it. So I haven't got a chance to watch any of them, because I just heard about it. So I'm kind of curious to see what she's doing with it. I'm kind of curious to see, is it going to be a comedy, or is it more serious?
I did see some teaser trailers.
Oh, you did?
It looked incredibly serious, and with quite of a budget.
Oh, wow. I got to check that out.
It's not a guild budget. It's a, kind of a low budget TV show kind of budget.
Yeah, well, that's still good to me, man. I mean, because I'm all about low budget, as long as it's got good story. I mean, if I can watch five seasons of Hercules and six seasons of Xena, I know I can watch this.
Oh God.
Oh man, don't get me started on those. Oh. I love me some Hercules and Xena.
I'm telling you.
Now that you mention that, we may have to have a show about that one day.
Oh, buddy.
And they're on instant watch and everything.
Yeah, they are.
Kevin but, Sorbo.
Oh, yeah. And Lucy Lawless.
There you go.
But, yeah, I'm interested in this, if it's going to take a serious route, because almost everything Felicia Day has done, she's always played the awkward female. Almost everything I've seen her in. She did do a good job in Dollhouse, being pretty serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed it. Did she play like just a... what type of character did she play in there? Because it's one of the ones I missed.
It was... Well, how do we say it without being spoiler, Stuart?
Just don't say it.
Well,
she played a survivalist.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it was like basically a survivalist in the end of the world type, you know, environment. So, I mean, she was only on two episodes, I think?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, and so, I mean, she didn't have a big role, but there was no room for awkwardness. I mean, it was, you know, you have to be serious and on your, you know, on your game or you're gonna die type of situation that she played in, and she did pretty well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to see her in more things, because I do like the Guild, and, you know, I liked her in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and other stuff I've seen her in, but where she's played the awkward, you know, kind of shy, whatever girl. But
yeah,
I am looking forward to seeing her play something a bit more serious, seeing what her acting capabilities are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's very, very talented, man. I mean, you know, they've already done, what, 4 seasons of the Guild, and Xbox Live is picking them up for... the 5th season. I'm just ready for it, man.
I was talking to a friend yesterday, actually, about this, and I still haven't seen the 4th season. I have to catch up.
It's on Zoom for free. You can stream it or you can download it.
It's just been, you know, I've just haven't had the time to, you know, actually go to the Zoom, download it, you know, and watch. I've just gaming, movies, TVs, podcasting, everything's just crazy.
which season did they introduce Will Wheaton?
That was season 4.
3?
No, I'm sorry, season 3.
Okay, because
yeah.
that was where I stopped.
Yeah, yeah, so you gotta watch season 4. Yeah, it's on, you just go to Xbox and, you know, download the movies. And
there's like, 5 minutes each episode, if that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think
they have it set up to where the entire season equals an hour. Because, like, I know the previous 2 seasons, they equal, like, what, like, something like 45 minutes or something like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not – it's definitely not something that will take you a long time. But
yeah,
it's just the having to get into the Zoom and download it, and the process, basically, has
– Right.
Yeah. But – definitely looking forward to that, and got to catch up on season 4 before the 5th one comes up. I'm not sure when.
4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that you have to rush, because I think they're going to do it just like they did season 4, where they'll have one come out like every 2 weeks or something like that. So it's not going to be, you know, just terrible that you haven't watched season 4. Sometimes I kind of like...
Oh, no, I want to, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly funny. But there I go again. I guess we can move on to Killzone 3. Stuart, I guess you're gonna just sit back and listen.
Yep, no problem.
So Nox, you want to go first? You got the Killzone 3 bundle.
Yeah, yeah, and they labeled the thing like it was some type of, like, I mean, not that it really matters to me, but, you know. Like, they were labeling it, oh, it's the limited edition. There's only going to be so many of them, and it's going to be special. Man, it wasn't that. When
it's
you open
a PS3
the box,
and a copy of the game.
When you open the box, all it is That outside covering is the only thing that has Killzone on it. It doesn't have any special marker. There's no special, you know, serial number to say that you got a limited edition one. It's just a regular.
That box is pretty cool by itself. I mean,
yeah, I mean the box is cool, but I mean it's a piece of paper. Like I want my stuff to be individually marked or at least put Killzone on it somewhere.
You want a Hellgas like on the actual PS3?
Yeah, I know. I mean something. I mean, you know. Give me a Hellgas, I don't know, a little symbol on the front of the PS3 or something. I don't know. I'm just like that when I buy limited edition stuff. I like to know that it's actual, you know, that mine's different. But nevertheless, I got the Killzone game inside the box, so got it for free, no skin off my back. So I was already gonna buy a PS3 anyway. The campaign, I'm actually about halfway through. I jumped off the campaign to play multiplayer, which I never do that. So I broke my own rule because I always play the campaign first, go all the way through it, then hop into multiplayer. But I wanted to kind of test it out so I could talk about it. But the campaign in itself, I mean, the game looks gorgeous. The game is beautiful. I can't take anything away from it in that category. I mean, the only thing that I can say is some of the anti-aliasing is kind of jaggy around certain things. But that's a real small complaint compared to what this game looks like. They fixed the control from Killzone 2. They kind of refined them a little bit more. It's a little bit more tighter. It still feels kind of shaky a little bit on certain guns, but that's supposed to be there because they try to make it, you know, feel more realistic.
Feels like there's weight to it.
Right, exactly. So you'll actually feel certain guns will actually feel different, especially the big turrets and stuff like that. Like you'll get more kickback and things like that. As far as the campaign, I mean, it's pretty. It's pretty so-so. I mean, I was hyping this thing up in my mind. I thought it was going to be awesome and just blow me away. But so far, the campaign is just it's not a bad campaign. It's just not what I thought Killzone was going to be this time. I mean, it's the third iteration. They had all the elements to kind of build up to it, and it's just not what I thought it was going to be. So have you played the campaign yet?
I haven't gotten into the campaign yet. I've just touched on multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually going to get into the campaign this week. I just had so many games last week to play.
Yeah, you're not missing a whole lot, man. It's still
I heard it's only like 5 hours.
Yeah, it's still awfully generic. I mean, but the thing I noticed though, they have cutscenes like at almost every point. Like it's almost like it kind of interrupts your gameplay because as soon as you get to a different area. Or as soon as you get a checkpoint, it's cutscene. It's cutscene. It's cutscene. I'm like,
so it's to the point where it's irritating, or
not necessarily irritating, but it's kind of unexpected. It's like you shoot a couple guys and you walk around the corner and cutscene starts. You're like, okay, why? Okay, and then the cutscene will be like 30 seconds or something like that. We know, which is all right in some cases, but I'm like, you could have just played that out during the gameplay, you know? So
yeah, I know a lot of people were complaining. Oh, it has an hour long. Hour length of cutscenes, all, you know, basically, yeah. I guess all the cutscenes together is, you know, an hour long.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't mind cutscenes, honestly. I like having cutscenes because it gives me a break to, you know, relax, take a sip of my soda or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't like cutscenes. Like I said, I mean, I don't really mind them, but like in this instance, when like the cutscene is like, you know, it's like sometimes it's like 15 seconds long, sometimes it's 60 seconds long. I'm like, okay, just let it play out, or either, you know, like I just felt that they could have played some of those situations out during the actual gameplay. You know, you can tell a story, you know, during gameplay. I mean, Halo does it all the time. I mean, most of their stuff is told during actual in-game play with different elements and stuff like that. So, but you know, it still feels about the same as Killzone 2. I mean, so. If you're expecting this to just, you know, wow you in some magnificent way, just lower your expectations, you know. And I say rent it first. If you have the Redbox stuff available in your area where you can rent it from Redbox, do that. It's $2 a day. You can go rent it, but it's not what they were making it really out to be. But I guess the multiplayer, yeah. You've actually played more than multiplayer than I have. You want to talk about that a little bit?
The multiplayer. So you weren't on the Ace Black's game night?
No, I had plans that night.
Okay. I say that because there was, I guess, two rooms. One was the full room, and then
yes,
one
it was 16
was,
players.
One
at,
was
at about one well, time.
there was like, yeah, I don't know if there were 16, but when I got on, I got an invite from Ace. I was having headset problems. I had to go out and because I didn't know you could just go into the options, you know, in the PS3 options.
Oh, yeah.
Without leaving the game. So I had to leave the game because I'm so used to that on the Xbox. But and tweak it. And then by the time I got ready, you know, by the time I was ready, which I wasn't too late, you know, it was just an extra 10 minutes. I guess that room was full and I got an invite from Knucklehead from the tag community, and it was me, him, and some, I don't know who it was, but some female. And it was just the three of us playing. And I think that's where I kind of had where my big complaints come from, because not having a party system really sucks. Because I, you know, there was only three of us, and there's like eight on a team, or 8 or 12 or something like that. But that means there was like, you know, five random people on our team. And oh my God, playing with randoms is hit or miss. And it was always a miss for us, or the times we played. And it's frustrating because I know people are like, oh yeah, you can just mute them. But yeah, while you're taking the time to mute them, you can get killed because you're just standing there.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, next game, some people leave, some people come back, and you have to mute them again. And I don't know. I really think they should have done what they did in Killzone 2. I'm not sure if you've played Killzone 2, Henry.
Yeah, I played a fair good, a pretty good amount of it.
They had the room system where you could create a room and you could have it leave it open. You know, you can say like Geeks for the Win game night and have you can either leave it open for anyone to join or you could have a password.
Right. You know? Exactly.
And so, you know, you could do all kinds of stuff. Like if you wanted to do say, oh, let's just do pistols only. Or, you know, just have a game night and just have y'all playing and not have random people come in.
Yeah. And see, I used to...
They don't have that in Killzone 3.
Yeah, exactly.
They took that out. And that seems like a step back. Because that's something that I think was in... I think it was in Killzone 1 on the PS2. But I haven't seen anything like that in 360 games.
Yeah, we'll see... The reason why Guerrilla implemented that in there is because, you know, Sony had been going back and forth whether or not they were going to do party chat. So they pretty much made their own space within a space, you know, chat system. So you could, you know, have that space there. But,
and that fixes the problem.
Right,
that fixes
exactly.
The complaint.
Exactly.
For, oh, PS3 doesn't have a party system. Well, that, you know.
Each game has its own.
You can create your own room so you're just talking to the people you're playing with, and that's it.
Exactly.
And like I said, it's a huge step back, I think, for them.
Yeah, but I think Sony was. I can't say this for sure, but this is just my personal opinion. This is just what I think. I think Sony was on Guerrilla's back so hard because they have been labeled the Halo killer and all this stuff and everything, you know, which is. It's totally absurd, but that's beside the point. I think Sony was really pushing for them to be the premier title. And what is Sony pushing? They're pushing 3D technology and I mean
PlayStation and, Move.
Right, exactly. So, you know, hey, Guerrilla, no matter what you do, this game has to run at 120 frames per second, has to be 1080p, has to be 3D, and it has to have Move support day one. No questions asked. We want it done. So resources
it has to come out on a certain time,
right? Can't exactly.
Take
so
longer, I mean, like the second one did.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why we got only what is it like 5 maps, 7 if you pre-order. I mean,
I think I heard there was like more than 5 maps for the team deathmatch, and then I think 7 or 8 for the other modes.
Yeah, but it's pretty much it's the same.
And then there was 2 if you pre-ordered.
Yeah, exactly. But it's pretty much the same area. They just kind of they either close stuff off or either open it up, depending on, you know, what it is. But it's kind of essentially the same. backdrops and, you know, ground graphics and stuff like that. But I just think they were chugging the resources towards making this a premier title and giving Sony what they wanted, which is 3D technology and making the Move support for it so much that they honestly really probably didn't have time to really focus on, you know, story and stuff like that. They tried to, but, you know, after so long, you know, it's like, hey, we gotta finish this. We got a deadline because Sony's breathing down our neck about this stuff and we gotta get this stuff out. And I didn't know this, but I was reading a bunch of articles and it makes perfect sense. When you do 3D, you're doing this thing at 120 frames per second. You have to create a secondary double image that runs at the same frame rate without a hitch because it has to have two images that make one image, you know, 3D. And yep. So that's a huge task to do for anybody making a video game.
In order to do 3D, does it have to run at 120 frames per second?
Yes.
That seems high.
At least 100.
Right.
Because, I mean, some require you to have 240.
Yeah, so you have left eye, you have right eye, you know.
Well,
yeah. That's a lot of work to chug into one game and have the content that they should have had. I just don't feel that they had the opportunity to do it. I just don't feel that they did. I think Killzone 3 could have been a great game, but we'll see what they do with support. But then I'm kind of bitter at that. I kind of feel burned because, well, I don't, but I know people that actually purchased the game because now I got to go out and buy DLC for it. You know, I mean, sure, you're adding content and you're supporting it, but why do I have to pay for it? You know, I mean, this game should have came. I mean, look at COD. Look at a game like Medal of Honor. I mean they come out of the box shipping with 10 maps plus more stuff with the community with what Halo's doing with Forge and stuff like that. I mean, they give you free maps every single month. You know, it almost feels like. So I don't know. I mean, Killzone is a good game, but I don't think that it's like a full meritable purchase. Unless you just love Killzone, and that's the game that you play.
But, yeah, and I mean, there's only local co-op, couch co-op. There's no type of co-op, you know, online. There's no type of separate like horde mode or separate co-op mode.
Yeah,
besides the campaign.
Why?
There's no type of theater mode.
Why would you do split screen co-op and not? I mean. It has to be something small as flicking a switch and saying, it's so incredibly easy nowadays that we have online gameplay.
Because I want to play.
Let my friend jump in with me. Yeah.
I want to play Killzone 3 split screen with 3D. Yeah, I really want to do that.
It's ridiculous, man. And then what really trips me out is that they have the perfect platform to make co-op. You have plenty of soldiers on the battlefield. You have at least three main characters that each person can kind of be. You can still tell a good, formidable story that can compete with other franchises and genres. Just add co-op. Add something. I mean, give me a horde mode. Give me something that I can play with my friends other than PvP, you know?
I mean, look at Halo Reach. They had the co-op mode, and you weren't different characters. You were basically just this. You know, same character.
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes it's just fun to just mess around. You know, I'm charting through this world with my friends. I know, you know, it's four different Master Chiefs running around, but who cares? We're having fun. Like we're playing the campaign mode.
Now, I have a quick question. Neither of you have the Move, correct?
No.
No, I don't. But I have played it with the Move.
Okay. Well, that's how is that? How different is that?
Playing it with the Move controller is actually, I gotta say, it's actually pretty intuitive the way they have it set up. You know, when
don't
you have
they have an auto lock too?
It's not necessarily an actual auto lock, but what happens is, like your reticle is like yellow, and when you get towards an enemy, like it kind of snaps too, just like you do with the regular controller. But when it snaps to a person or when you get close to them, it kind of fades into like a red color. So you always know whether or not you're actually going to hit the enemy or not because your reticle is red versus it being yellow.
Okay, you're talking about the little ball on the end.
No.
Or the actual what's on screen.
Yeah. Okay. The actual cursor on screen. Navigational button is pretty slick. But that was just me playing the campaign mode. There is no way I could compete competitively with that.
I've heard it's actual the move, like the controls are for competitive wise. They're gonna have to. I've heard they're gonna probably patch in or DLC or whatever to make separate, you know, like I guess move versus move people, because the move does have some advantage.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I really wanna play against, like, I know Vic Joe, he has a gun, a couple other friends have the gun. I really wanna try a game night out and have people that have the move controller and actually play against people to see if it's really a separation, because I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to, you know, first person shooters, but I consider myself to be pretty darn good because I play a lot of shooters. So I want to actually see if it's a competitive unit to use in multiplayer and it actually works.
Yeah, I just want to play with a full 8 people so I don't have to deal with any random yahoos, because I couldn't take it, honestly. I mean, I couldn't stay in that. I played a couple matches with Knucklehead, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, I was also having a little mic issues because I was trying to figure out how to get my headset to plug in, because I have a weird setup making my X11s, which aren't PlayStation capable. I have an adapter for it and trying to figure out how that all works, but I was just having a headache from all the random people talking, because you got people who are using their cheap, crappy Bluetooth, you know.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
They're $10 Bluetooths, and you hear, you know, their quality is not that great, and they have, like, you know, you have the people with music in the background, and when all kinds of, I mean, it's just, I was honestly getting a headache, and it was just not fun. I mean, the game itself, the multiplayer itself, I like it. It's, you know, it feels like a fun shooter that I would love to play with friends, but I'm not going to play this by myself. I was a big Killzone, you know, I loved the first one. I know a lot of people hated on the first one, but I actually liked the first one.
I love the first one.
I played it online, PlayStation, you know, 2 online.
Yep.
It was fun. Yeah. No, it wasn't a hard drive, it was a modem. I had my little, I bought a Logitech headset, like $30, so I could talk to people, just USB headset, and I loved it. It was so much fun. You could do the clan tags, all that. You could make your own rooms, I think, if I remember correctly, in the first one.
And yeah, you could.
Yeah, and it was just really fun. And the second one, you know, was a huge improvement and was just amazing. And I didn't play it too much because not that many people got behind it. I mean, there were people who were like, yeah, Killzone was awesome, but they would easily go back to Call of Duty on the 360 or Halo on the 360. So, I mean, my big thing is, will people stick with this game? Will it have legs? Or will everyone just, you know, go back to Halo when the Defiant map pack comes out, or Call of Duty when, you know?
Yeah, I think the people who love Killzone and people who are still interested in it, like myself, I'll still play it from time to time. But yeah, I think I'll probably be going back to Halo as far as my shooter of choice. And I think all the COD people, they'll kind of dibble and dab because they bought it. And you're kind of stuck with it now at this time, you know. So, I mean, of course, I mean, you'll kind of dibble and dabble in it, but everybody's going back to COD. You know, they're going back to Black Ops as far as their main shooter.
And honestly, right now, I know, Stuart, you don't have a PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, unless you're interested in playing, like, the single-player games that are exclusive, or what's it called, having a Blu-ray player. You know, but you can get one. Blu-ray play. Yeah, you have one, and you can get one cheaper. But unless you're interested in, like, the exclusives, like Uncharted and God of War and whatnot, I would not suggest getting one right now, because the online is just, it's frightening for people who are so spoiled with the 360 system.
Yeah, and it's two things that I do notice. Everybody says that people on the PSN don't talk. Yeah, they talk. It's just what they talk about. And I know Xbox Live gets a whole lot of bad press about how, you know, how it's, you know, it's, you know, it's constant profanity, cursing, racial epithets, you know, just obnoxious people. It's the same way on the PSN that I'm finding out as I'm playing more and more
games. But worse quality, because you can right? you can buy a generic knockoff Bluetooth for like $10
yeah,
and just hook it up and it just sounds freaking horrible.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, you know.
Literally, I had such a huge headache that I just couldn't play. I got off and I think I went to Call of Duty or something, because I just needed to get away and talk to people who have, you know, decent headsets, and the quality was, you know, it's not crystal clear, but at least it was manageable.
Yeah, and see, I used to rag on people about, you know, hey, what are you complaining about the chat system? I mean, it can't possibly be that bad. I mean, it's not that bad. But when you come over from Xbox Live and, oh, man, it's just a convoluted menu system, how it's all on one sliding band. It slides down and everything. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just me not getting used to it yet.
You mean the cross-media bar?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I don't have a problem with that. I just, you know, sometimes I forget where, like, oh, I got to go to settings, or I have to enter the wireless code. Is this under network settings, or is this under such and such? I forget sometimes like that stuff. But I like it. I think it's sleek. My main problem is there's no type of party chat or anything like that.
And see, you know, that's the difference that I see with the Xbox Live model and the PSN model. Is because when I boot up my PS3, like what I'm noticing is that I don't even know where my friends are. Like I know where the tab is, but it doesn't seem exciting. It just seems like, okay, this is a machine that's turned on, you know. And then when you look at Xbox Live, everything is there. You can scroll up one time and you see everybody's avatars. If they're in a party, you can see they're inside of a party, you know, with all the avatars and stuff. So
I know, and I know a lot of people this is the comment that frustrates me so much. You get what you pay for. Want to pay for, I'd pay for something. I'd pay for a better PSN to be able to have the party system.
Yeah.
But they're just not offering it. Or at least like an option to mute all that's not your friends.
So if PlayStation Plus offered that, you would have a subscription?
I would have a subscription, honestly.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
To be honest, I would. I mean, because I didn't, like I said, I didn't think that it was a big deal. I thought everybody just complaining, just to be complaining, because it's the PS3 and it's the black sheep and all this and everything. But, dude, I mean, that party system is huge. I mean, because it'll be time where I'll be online and Poetic will be online, Ace will be online, Blue will be online, and we'll all be in a party, and all of us will be playing something totally different. But we'll just be having a nice conversation, you know. Or say, for instance, I'm playing Uncharted, and I see Poetic playing Killzone 3. If it was on Xbox, I would send him a message, and he would jump into my party, and I say, "Hey, I'm about to finish this game. You know, give me 1 second, and I'll be over there and play with you." On the PSN, you don't have those type of experiences. So when I see him on Killzone 3, I was like, "Well, I really don't feel like playing Killzone 3. I want him to come play with me." But I'll just wind up turning my PS3 off, because that conversation never happened, because the party system isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather if I know the people we game with, they all have headsets for the PS3 and stuff like that. But I'd rather just freaking turn my Xbox on and talk to people, you know, have party chat, you know, just be in a party and talk to them while I'm playing the PS3 and have that running as well.
Yeah.
Or tab my laptop and Skype, and I mean, God, it's pretty sad when gamers like us have to think of unique ways to get around that. there's no party system or any type of, I mean, it's really bad. It's compare. I mean, like Henry said, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's not that, it can't be that bad. Well, you're so used to, you know, you're so spoiled with the 360 system. Like I've said before, I'm so spoiled by that, that, you know, not having it just is just horrible.
Yeah.
But like I've said before, I like the games on the PS3. They're like Killzone is a fun shooter. The multiplayer, what I played of it, it was enjoyable, and I really enjoyed playing it. But I was just getting a headache, and I couldn't stand it any longer. I mean, if an experience is giving me a headache, no matter, I'm just not gonna keep at it, because, you know, that starts to affect my health, you know?
Yeah. Send all your PS3 fanboy hate mail to thegeeksforthewin@gmail.com.
Oh, and, you know, I know we're going to probably get a lot of response from certain PS3, you know, enthusiasts about it's not that bad, but compared to the, yeah, it is. I mean, you hear a lot of people say it's not that bad, but do they play a lot of multiplayer games, you know? Not much. I mean, a lot of the people I see who complain, they play a lot of the single player stuff, like, you know, Uncharted and, you know, Infamous and a lot of the other exclusives.
Yeah,
and
War, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't.
It doesn't
have
require you to talk.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It really discourages me from jumping in on my PS3, because I really like the Sony games. The PlayStation 2 was just amazing. I was such a huge Sony fanboy, and I only got my 360 because it was I got it really cheap, and I was just waiting until I had the money to get a PS3, and I finally got a PS3, and I've barely touched that. I honestly have, and it's just a paperweight that can play Blu-rays most of the time.
Well, I'm actually using it more. One thing that I do to notice, because I'm a big audiophile, that I've noticed, the PS3 actually does auto switching. Auto audio switching for your receiver, because I have a 5.1 receiver. My receiver is kind of old, though. It doesn't have HDMI switching or nothing like that. So I use optical. But most of the games for PS3 have Dolby Digital 5.1 and DTS. And I love DTS surround sound. Like, I love that better than Dolby Digital. And what I notice is on every game that I play, and on even some movies, Blu-ray movies that I play, it automatically switches the audio for me. Whereas on the Xbox, I have to go into my receiver and I have to switch it. But the PS3 reads from the optical cord back to the system, and it just does it for me automatically. So,
oh yeah, and it can do a lot of great things. Yeah. I mean, hardware capable, it's amazing. I think it's still, you know, if it was released today, it would still be a impressive piece of technology. But it's just the software. So, I mean, Sony just copy and paste what Microsoft has.
I wish they would.
I do too. I think that's the most we've ever talked about something Mike or Sony related. I guess we can jump it. Bulletstorm, I quickly want to talk about that.
Yeah,
I know.
Tell us about Killing with Skill.
There you go.
So, I can't remember, but you guys, did you play the demo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played it.
Okay, like I said before, that was just the trial run modes, basically. The stripped down versions, just so you can get, you know, just go through them. No cutscenes, nothing. Go through them just to get story, or not to get the story, and just to get the points and leaderboards and stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of people were turned off because they thought that was what the whole game's going to be like, even though a lot of podcasts said, it's called Echo. It's this Echoes mode, and it never said campaign. And I think a lot of people were just ignorant, basically. You know, I say ignorant because they did not have the knowledge. I'm not calling anyone stupid, of course. But the campaign, it's really good. It has some weird stuff at the beginning. I mean, the language, of course, is just over the top, like, ridiculous. And they even make fun of themselves. Like, when you get to the female, she's like, stay away or I'm going to kill your dicks. And the main character, the main character's like, what, kill our dicks? What does that even mean?
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, what does that even mean? I'm going to kill your dick. I mean, and it makes fun of itself as far as the humor goes. But, you know, it's I would say it's 8 to 10 hours of campaign. So it's not that short. It's longer than Killzone 3. I mean, but it's not that short, and it's divided into 7 acts and 3 chapters per act, I think. Some acts have only 2 chapters, but about the third act, it starts to get really good, and the characters, honestly, there's some pretty interesting stuff. Like, one of the characters at the very beginning, I mean, this is the very beginning, he basically gets blown up and has to be basically turned into kind of like a cyborg, or, you know, part human, part machine. And throughout the whole game, the machine, like, will take control sometimes, and it's just interesting to see throughout the game the machine slowly taking control. And I really, really enjoyed that. And it actually explains in the game the point system, like why you see points for kills and stuff. It actually has a meaning for the actual game.
Mm.
Like the I don't know if that would be a spoiler or not.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I think it may be if it's part of the campaign.
At the very beginning of the game.
What? It's not at the beginning of the campaign. It's like it's toward the middle. They figure out why they're seeing points and stuff like that. But I thought that was very interesting. It wasn't just something where it was, you know, just, you know, we're seeing the points and they don't, and we just have to, you know, it's not like they just threw it in. They wrote it into the story, and it actually had a purpose in the story, which I thought was really amazing. The main bad guy is just a total dick. I mean, he is just unbelievable, and it gets to the point where you just hate him. Like, you seriously will hate him. And I'm not going to give any spoilers because, you know, some people haven't played it, and I know some people are going to pick it up because it has been getting good praise. I mean, it's been getting scores as well as Killzone 3. But the ending is just, it made, I talked to a bunch of people online about this, and they all agreed with me. It makes you want them to come out with this. They left it open for a second one, but it makes you want to have that second one to play, because it's just a huge cliffhanger. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest cliffhangers I've seen, or I've experienced in a game. So, honestly, I was just expecting just a over-the-top, you know, generic story, and, you know, just basically the multiplayer, you know, co-op multiplayer and the Killzone 3 beta, but the campaign actually surprised me.
Well, it's good to know they put some thought behind it, at least.
Yeah.
I'll probably try it. I'll probably wait till it drops down a little bit, or I'll probably give it a rent.
I definitely suggest y'all at least rent it, because, just for the campaign, because it's pretty interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's actually will surprise you.
Well, I know this has been talked about the dev, but just real quickly, what do you guys think about Fox News basically saying if you play Bulletstorm, you're going to go out and rape people?
Mm-hmm. I've played like 17 hours of it, and I don't feel like raping anybody.
I think Fox News just needs to drop video games.
They won't, because
they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They just want controversy, so people will come and watch their stuff and, you know, commercials, and they get money for the commercials, and they just want controversy, so they have ratings.
And people go on there so they can sell their book, how to train your child, how to raise your kid, the 12 steps to parenthood and all this crap.
Yes. But the multiplayer co-op is really amazing. You know, you guys are familiar with Horde mode, Firefight, you know, those types of modes, right? Mm-hmm. Where basically it's just wave after wave, and you kill them and you can move on, and you kill them and you move on, and as long as you can kill everyone, you move on. This is not like that at all. You have, at the beginning of the round, you have a total amount of points you have to score, and if you all just kill people by yourselves, you know, if you're in a group of four and you just kill people by yourself, you will not pass. You will not pass. You may pass the first few, but it'll start to get challenging where you have to work together. You honestly have to work together, because when you do team kills, you get more points. So it forces you to be, you know, cooperative and work with your friends. Unlike Gears, where, oh, you take this corner, I take this corner, you know, you just shoot and kill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun, because each of the maps have different environments where you'll have different skill shots or different types of killing. Like one map will have a giant man-eating plant, and another map will have like a giant turbine where you can throw them into it, or, you know, just different environments for the different maps. So each map, there's different ways to kill. And your points, when you collect points, it not only helps towards moving to the next level, but you start fresh. At the very beginning, you start fresh with just the regular gun and the leash. And then you use those points at the beginning of each round. You have, like, I think 30 seconds or 20 or 30 seconds, and you can upgrade your weapons and unlock new stuff with those points. And it's only 20 waves, so it's not like it's going to take like hours and hours and hours, but it can take a good hour, maybe two, to get to wave 20. Especially if you don't work together, because that was one of the main issues when I was playing with a few friends, was we weren't working together for a while. We all wanted to get our own kills and do our own stuff, you know, kill with skill. We all wanted to be the ones to shoot, but we had to learn that, oh, I'll bullet slide, you know, slide this dude in the air and you shoot him, and or I'll use my leash and, you know, throw these guys in the air and you shoot them, or we basically had to work together, which now, I don't know of any other game that it actually makes you work together or you can't pass.
Now, when you perform those kills, do they give you multipliers for everybody for that, for those type certain things? Like, say, for instance, Stuart runs and boots him, and then I whip him in the air, and then you shoot all of them. So we all performed, you know, some type of, feat on them. But do we all get credit for that, for those different things that we did, or do we get credit as a whole for it, or what?
You will mainly just get credit for. I could be wrong, but from what it's appeared like, it was just the two people who ended up doing it, or I think maybe three. There were certain parts where three people would do stuff. Like if you all had the leash and you all leashed a guy and ripped him to pieces, that was called tug of war.
Oh, okay.
And you would, but there, it wouldn't be like times three. It would just be like times two, I think, I don't even think it was times two. It was just a higher amount of points than just doing it by yourself. Like, you know, there are different skill shots, like team, like the man eater plant. You know, if you throw him in, if you push someone or leash them into the man eating plant, you'll get like maybe what I think 500 the first time, and then 100 thereafter. But if you do it as a team, you'll get like, I don't know, 250. So you get a big bonus. And every like, I think almost like every five enemies there or so, there will be a special skill. You have to an enemy where it'll have instructions to do a certain type of kill. They call it the kill challenge or something like that. So you have to definitely work together to do that, because doing those challenges will earn you like a lot of points. And that can, you know, we've gotten to the point where, oh man, this is the last guy. We were under 1,000 points. You know, oh, we really need this kill. We've gotten to the point where, crap, we're like 2,000 below. We don't know if we can make it. We really needed to get this last kill to make sure, you know, to see if we can or not, to even have a chance. So it's definitely, it definitely makes you work as a team. And by doing so, you have a lot more fun, because we were playing like 3-4 hours at a time, at least three hour sessions of it. So it got to the point where I got a little burnt out on it. So I had to take a couple days break from it and play something else. But it's really different. I really think if people can just get past the over the top language, like dick tits or sushi dick or just the stuff like that. If they can just get past that and just laugh that off and get past like the first couple acts of the campaign, I think they would really like this game.
Well, let me ask you one final question. Do you think if they had not put kind of the kept the campaign the way it is, but kind of toned down some of the profanity and like, I guess, took out some of this, you know, extraly overly overt silliness in it that was kind of maybe like a detriment to the game, do you think that it would have been a little bit more appealing to people and people wouldn't have, you know, written it off as this juvenile game and, you know, so on and so forth?
I think so, but I think in a way the over-the-top humor fits because, I mean, it just fits with the violence of the game, because it doesn't want to be, you know, a story serious. Like Heavy Rain. It doesn't want to be a serious, you know, we you know, our main focus is story and gameplay is second. No. The story is second, even though the story does get really good, in my opinion. I think it's mainly just for just to sit down, relax, have some fun, you know, turn your brain off and just kill stuff with the earning points, doing unique stuff. And with the campaign, you can go into the menu system and you can see like what part of the campaign you're on, what kind of challenges you can do. There will be it'll say like you can throw an enemy into something, or you can headshot an enemy or two enemies right in a row, and depending on the bad guys, because there are some bad guys I had said that are a bit tougher that you can't just headshot right away. So it helps you. It tells you what you can and can't do. Like, oh, you may want to, you know, try this right now because you're able to do this. And, you know, there's achievements tied to doing this skill shots. You know, like 25% of all skill shots, 50%, 75%, and then all. So I thought that was pretty interesting that you can, you know, just go through it and, you know, menu, see which ones are available and tackle him right there. But it's just something to turn your brain off and just have fun with. Like I said, I was really surprised with the quality of the campaign. It was a lot better because I expected it to just be something I could turn my brain off and just have fun with and then jump into multiplayer with, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm hoping there will be a sequel because it was a pretty big cliffhanger. But I guess any more questions, Stuart?
No, you pretty much covered all the points.
I definitely would say check it out if y'all can rent it or find it cheap or whatever. To be able to get the Gears beta, there's a code that basically unlocks like a button or a. Unlocks a sec, basically a button in the menu that will be active whenever the Gears beta starts. So you have to have the code that comes in a new game and the actual disc. It's not like Halo Reach where you just need the disc, and or Halo ODST where you just need the disc and you can play the game. Which I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a smart move for the company to be able to, you know, keep from or you know get their game sold, you know.
Yeah.
And not just have people rent it and or you know just buy it used or whatever. But and the Gears beta I think comes out in April. I saw.
Yeah, it's coming out in April.
So that's pretty close. That's like a month and a half away. So that's I'm excited about that. I think I'll still be playing Bulletstorm then because it's really fun. It truly is, and I like the fact that the co-op mode makes you work together instead of having because I really don't like playing with certain people and they're all you know oh I'm gonna you know I'm the badass I'm gonna kill everyone take all the kills and stuff because that can get really weak when you in the round of horde mode or whatever and you barely have any kills because you were you know or you barely have any points because you were just at a spot where there weren't that many enemies or you just didn't or you know everyone else got the kills and not you. It makes you work together and earn points together. So but anyways, enough of that. Since no more questions, I guess what do we have? Telltale Games working in Overdrive. Stuart, I think you put that down.
Yeah, that was me. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but Telltale Games had this little, I don't know, kind of a media kind of thing, you know, kind of showing what they're
the what press they're day.
Going. Yeah, and you know they're the people who you know Monkey Island. They're the ones doing the Back to the Future game, which I love.
Yep,
and they also announced the games that they're going to do. And they've got a shit ton of games coming out.
Yeah, I've actually heard, and I'm kind of excited for some of them.
Yeah, me too. Like the Jurassic Park game.
That's been in works for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard about it during this
podcast. I think that's been in works for a couple years, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be.
But, yeah, and isn't Telltale making a game with Tim Schafer for the Kinect, that Sesame Street game?
I don't know. Yeah. That could be one of the games, too.
Yeah, but I believe they actually are. They're making a Kinect Sesame Street game.
Is it Telltale, or is it Tim Schafer's company, Double Fine?
Is it Double Fine?
I think it's Double Fine that's doing the Sesame Street game.
Sorry, wrong story.
Because that's Tim Schafer's company, I think.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah, that'll be interesting. But back to Telltale.
I saw some actual gameplay of the Jurassic Park game, and the guy from Telltale actually said, you know, this is kind of like Heavy Rain. You know, but you know, they were showing the PC version with an Xbox 360 controller, and it had the button prompts on screen, kind of like Heavy Rain did.
Yeah. And, I've heard about that, and I've heard it plays pretty well both ways, on PC using the controller or the mouse and key.
Mm-hmm.
From listening to certain podcasts.
I don't know, but see, this takes place like during the first movie.
Yeah, it's an alternate storyline, kind of
It answers some of the questions that you've kind of been wondering about. Like, what happened to that can of embryos that I forget his name dropped?
Honestly, I don't remember Jurassic Park. I have to go back and watch it.
Okay. Somebody out there will know exactly what I'm talking about.
But I know what you're talking about because I heard it on the podcast, but this podcast I was listening to. But
I love Jurassic Park, so.
I did too, but I haven't watched it I've slept so many times since then.
Man, I remember every part of Jurassic Park, man.
Yeah, too.
How could you forget like them being in the rain? Man, that was the most terrifying scene. Them in the rain. You see this big, huge you know.
Well, I remember that type of details, but I don't remember like the specific details in the movies, like the dropping the embryos or whatever and stuff like that. And
I remember. Oh, okay. Tell me that you remember the kitchen scene with the velociraptors.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
That was terrifying.
Oh, definitely. But like I said, that's it's been how long?
Like it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been at least it's been
10 years.
No, it's I think it's been more than 10. It's like 15.
Yeah, at
20.
Least 10 though. Yeah. So, yeah, 10 to 15 years, I think. But yeah. Yeah.
See, what else are they coming out with? The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yay.
I have no clue what that's going to be like.
I don't think they've shown much, but aren't they coming out with that, what's it, the King Quest? Or?
Okay, I was going to get to that at the last because...
Oh,
okay,
sorry.
I grew up with King's Quest. King's Quest was my game. King's Quest 5 and 6. Oh, loved them. Played them so many times. When I first heard, you know, kind of the joke was, you know, Telltale making, you know, reviving every previous adventure game ever made. I made a joke like, oh, another King's Quest. Turns out it's true, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind all the stuff they're doing. Whether or not they'll be able to put enough time to make each thing, you know, quality or. If they're stretching themselves too thin.
God help not.
That's my only big concern, because they've got, like, what, 5 games they're working on?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, we talked about Guerrilla Games trying to push, you know, one game, being, you know, trying to just push one game and not getting a lot of the stuff, you know, not putting a lot of quality stuff into it. You know, work. I don't know how big Telltale is, but
they're big.
Yeah, so that's my only concern. I mean, stretching, you know, 5 games, but I'm excited. A lot of the games I'm really excited for.
Yeah, me too.
Just a lot of the stuff they announced, there wasn't much, but, you know, hey, we're doing this game. Hey, we're doing that game.
Yeah.
More later. So,
start the hype now.
Definitely. So that'll be interesting. I know a lot of people are excited about the Walking Dead and the King's Quest. Mm-hmm. I know a lot are. Any more news from them? Any more comments about that?
I can't wait.
you're not alone. You are not alone.
Yeah, it sounds real good that they bring all these games to the forefront. And, you know, chugging out content. Hopefully, we'll get it across multiple platforms, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adventure games are not dead.
Yep.
Oh, definitely not. I think, and, you know, a lot of these games, I'd like to see some of these games come to, you know, smaller platforms. Like, you know, they have the Monkey Island on the iPhone. Where you have the touch capability like that. I think bringing stuff to that would be pretty interesting. Bring some of these games that are just, you know, like the QuickTime one, you know, where it's just QuickTime stuff, where all you would have to do is touch, mostly. I think that would work well on the iPhones, and that would get a lot of people who aren't, you know, necessarily big into gaming or who are big into gaming, you know, playing it on the go, you know, instead of just playing Peggle or something, they can, you know, pull out their iPhone or Android phone and play something like this, and not, you know, because I think a lot of gamers, you know, the hardcores who like Call of Duty and, you know, Halo and the Uncharted and, you know, big meaty games. Might not be interested in these games because they're probably going to be good, but they're not going to have as big a budget and be able to do as much as some of the AAA titles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my 2 cents on that. Project Destiny. Do we want to talk about that or
we can talk about this quickly? You know, it's. It's a, it, It is a rumor. Well, from what it is, like, there were, Kotaku came out saying, you know, like, you know, source saying it's an FPS MMO. And then,
oh, okay.
Word did, was that source was let go along with 30 other contract workers.
Oh, wow. Huh.
But Bungie is denying it all. Like, they're going hard out saying no. So it makes me, like,
well, that means it's true if they're going so hard out. I mean, are they really making a push saying no? Definitely not?
Yes. They're saying no.
It's possible, maybe. Because, I mean, if it wasn't true, I mean, why are they getting so defensive? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, if it wasn't true, I would think they'd be like, oh, no, that's not true. You know, haha, it may be, you know, joking around, but getting so defensive and firing people?
Yeah.
I think maybe it will be in the works, if not, but that's interesting, a first-person shooter MMO.
It kind of makes me wonder how, like, when it, you know, I'm not, probably not the only one, but when I think MMO, I think RPG.
Exactly.
I can't think of anything else other than an RPG.
First-person shooter MMO, I think of, like, Borderlands.
Yeah, something like
that would make a good MMO.
Yeah.
Because it's got the shooting and it's got the RPG elements to it.
Yeah, but you knew this was coming because just with the popularity of first-person shooters, they want to try to milk this just like anything else.
Yes, but I can't imagine, like, a Call of Duty MMO. I can't imagine that.
Oh, it's coming.
That's ridiculous. That's just...
The only way I could see that work would be that there'd be, like, a central lobby in between games. Instead of going to a screen saying, you know, looking for more characters, looking for more players, you'd all just go to a central lobby and you'd all have, like, a little avatar running around. And you would pick, like, hey, I want to go into this room or this room. That'd be the only kind of thing I could think of without putting RPG elements in it.
Yeah, it would have to have some type of RPG elements in it, because even Call of Duty and Halo and all the same ones, even they have RPG elements, because you can customize your stuff now, you can upgrade weapons, you know, you get perks now. I mean, all this different stuff, and they kind of took that from RPGs, because, I mean, you know, I mean, first-person shooters, they're going the way of MMO. I mean, Bobby Kotick has already said he's going to find a way, and they already have. They're going to come out, because they're making that new studio, Beachhead. Beachhead has already said that they're actually going to make a first-person Call of Duty where it's going to be, you know, free to play, but it's going to be microtransactions. So,
so it's coming. I just can't imagine it. That's real.
But you know, people will pay for it if they call it Modern Warfare, Darkness, Black Ops of the Days of Thunder, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, people are gonna pay for it. I mean, they'll buy the game and they'll pay the little microtransaction to get perks and stuff like that, because it's Call of Duty, and it'll sell 10 million copies, literally.
Here's the way I think it could work: is if it comes out like a tournament style, kind of like, you know, Unreal tournament games. Come out something like that. Like, after your match, you would come out to a central lobby, and you would find someone else to play against, and you would rank up.
Yeah.
That way. Like, I could definitely see something like that maybe working. But, you know, going out on quests and stuff like that, other than, you know, Borderlands, I can't see anything.
Go to Iraq and get 10 headshots. I just, like I said, I can't imagine that. Yeah, I just can't imagine that, but I know it'll probably happen, but I just can't imagine how that would work. And maybe it's just because that wouldn't appeal to me, honestly. Like I said, I would love something like Borderlands where it has that RPG element to it, where you have missions and you have loot. But, and of course, anything Borderlands I would just love, but I guess if... Are we done with the MMO first-person shooter talk?
I think so.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I guess, quickly, Verizon's iPhone, I guess, has the death grip now. I'm amazed. I thought they moved the antenna or something. But I'm not sure which one of you put this on here.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I mean, apparently Apple didn't learn their lesson from the last company they brought this phone out to, or these may be older models that are just trying to, like I said before, they're just trying to flush through them because they're getting ready for, you know, their new phone or whatever that's coming out. So
the iPhone 5 3D, right. whatever, yeah.
So, you know, they just put it out there, but people are still going to buy it because it's an iPhone, and I don't know. I mean, it's just sad to see a company, you know, that should be failing miserably with all the mistakes they're making, but people keep shoveling cash at them.
Okay, here's what I think happened. I think you're right. They are putting out the older iPhones, but I think, you know, like, you know, before they were saying, you know, they're not going to come out and run Verizon and stuff like that, but, you know, okay, fine, here. Here's the iPhone. See, it sucks. See? So we're sticking with AT&T. Yeah. We're not going to Verizon.
Yeah, I think maybe people think we're an iPhone bashing or Apple bashing podcast because the last three or so episodes we've had topics were, you know, Apple bad. So I think that's just kind of funny. That's just how it. That's just the topics we picked and we thought was interesting. I mean the removing the ping for the podcasting that affects us so. And, you know, people we know who also podcast, so we wanted to get that out. I'll talk about it more in a future episode, why the 30%, you know, monthly whatever for the hosting an app will affect us. I'll talk about that in a later episode. But, yeah, these topics really, what Apple is doing is really affecting people in a negative way. And just how it is. I mean, but
I think we said it last episode, you know, Steve Jobs is gone and they're trying to see what they can get away with.
Oh, definitely. These Yahoos will buy anything. Just stick that Apple on it and they'll buy it.
Yeah.
quickly I want to bring up I think it's been going around. It was a backhanded It was just a side comment that Nathan Fillion from Firefly, Castle, and a variety of other stuff. He made a comment about if he had like $300 million, he would buy. If he won $300 million from the California lottery, he would buy Firefly, the property, and, you know, distribute it online. And I guess no, not for free.
I thought he said for free.
He said distributed online. I actually listened to a podcast with him today, and he said that he never said free.
Okay.
Because you're gonna buy a big property like that and just give it away. But he did say he would make more episodes. Like, he said he would make more episodes and try to continue the series. And I guess, you know, Geeks/nerds unite, and there's people who are willing to pay, you know, collect money, and basically this one geek or nerd or whatever you want to call him basically created Help Nathan Buy Firefly.com, and he's basically rallying to try to get I guess pledges. They're not exactly real pledges at the moment. They're just to see how much, I guess, how much the fans would pay. And I think there's like over 100,000 fans. Wow. Who are willing to pay money. And so far there's only like there's $500,000 that are supposedly pledged to help go towards it. But that's really not that much. I mean, honestly, $500,000 is a lot, you know, you, me, but they ain't gonna buy Firefly for $500,000.
No way. No.
I think I saw somewhere or heard somewhere that the actual property would only cost like $40 million. I think that's where that's as much as they would. Something, but I think it would actually cost $40 million, not $300 million. And Nathan Fillion has tweeted and said, you know, don't send me money. Don't, you know,
Yeah, I actually follow Nathan Fillion on Twitter, and I actually saw this going on.
Yeah, same.
And let's see, his actual tweet was, "It's a beautiful dream of more Firefly, but please don't send any money," in all caps. Just keep being great brown coats, which you are.
Yes, and but the main reason I wanted to bring this up was because I looked at this yesterday and it was only at 400,000 pledged or whatever, and so, you know, 100,000 has already been, you know, in like a day. But if this gets enough, you know, I think even CNN covered this. I saw online CNN maybe I think covered it. Because I think I saw Nathan Fillion tweet about CNN, but if it gets enough press, you know, and enough attention, you know, I think Fox owns the rights to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll be, there's a lot of people who want to see more of this.
I mean, it's currently being aired on the Science Channel.
And that's what's gotten, that's what started everything.
With bonus stuff.
Yes, with bonus stuff. And
you want to have the Science Channel.
Oh, definitely. I wish I had. I don't know if I have it or not, but I don't think I do. And that's what got everything, you know, started. And I don't know. I just think it's pretty interesting that, you know, there's people who are willing to give money to, you know, help bring a show back. I don't think I've seen any support for this for anything else as much as Firefly.
No.
Henry, you got any comments on this? You've kind of been quiet.
Oh, no, not really. Just listening to you guys. That's the first time I'd ever heard of it. Him making that comment. But I mean, it's a good show, man. I'm about midway through season one, but I've been watching it on and off with most of my other shows. But I don't know. I think they ought to put those, if it ever does get to a point to where they can do something else with that series, I think they ought to do a second movie, you know, because, I mean, I love Serenity. I thought it was a good movie.
Oh, definitely.
There was talk of Serenity 2 being a sci-fi channel movie, but that never came.
And then, and there's talk of a lot of other stuff, and then Joss Whedon got the Avengers, and everything's kind of put on hold for that.
Yeah.
But I think the cast members would all be willing or to go back and do it. I think I've read and seen, you know, they love the series themselves. So it's interesting to see what will happen if this will, you know, raise, if the people at Fox will, if, you know, they'll look at this or they'll just, you know, just not pay any attention at all. I guess with that we can, I want to touch on the fact we had the rumor of, I can't remember when, but a while back, about Amazon Prime and unlimited streaming adding to the membership.
Yep.
And it's true. Last week they announced it, and they have over 5,000 movies and TV shows for Amazon Prime users free of cost, you know, just with your membership. And that's a pretty good deal considering it's $79, basically $80 a year, and you get 2-day free shipping on everything.
Yeah, and basically people have been paying that amount just to have the Amazon Prime features. So I think it's a good deal. I mean, you can access 5,000 movie titles and stuff like that. So,
and they have a lot of the same stuff Hulu and Netflix does, but they have other stuff. Like, I was looking, they have like everything from Doctor Who all the way back to the very beginning.
Yeah, but I think what Amazon needs to do to capitalize on this big opportunity is, because they have so much clout with so many manufacturers because they sell everything, they need to talk to every one of these manufacturers. I'm talking about device manufacturers, laptop makers, everybody. You know, people that, you know, other companies haven't really thought of, like you know, stuff like Lenovo or Symphonic manufacturers. You know, put it in those type of items. You know, to where people,
well, you,
people
you buy can watch it online. So as far as laptops go,
yeah, exactly.
That's fine. You can watch it online, or you can watch it, I think, on the the TiVo or
yeah,
so something like that. But I think it's just trying to find a device
as prominent as like a PS3 and a 360 because
that would be the big
Netflix
thing. Yeah,
everywhere. I mean,
That would be the big thing is to have Amazon on because they have Amazon Video on Demand as well. You know, their own rental service, which they have some good stuff. You know, they have good deals where Inception this past weekend was $1.99 to rent. And I picked that. I had some credit because they're always doing stuff like, oh, you sync your Twitter account, you get $5 credit, you know, for video on demand. Or you buy a video game, you get credit. Or you buy this movie, you get, they're always giving credit somehow. And I had some credit, so I picked up Inception, to rent, and I have a month to watch it. So for $1.99, that's a hell of a deal. And I think they have daily deals, and on the weekends they have like four or five that they have. But and they had some good ones. They had like Toy Story, Inception, something else, or Toy Story 3, Inception, and a few others that didn't interest me. But I definitely can see this. I definitely would like to see this come to like the consoles, or maybe Amazon can release their own little set-top box, even. You know, a cheap little box that connects, that just does streaming.
Yeah, like something like what Netflix has, those little Roku boxes.
Definitely, yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because it was a rumor on the show, and I said it was going to happen, and it did, so I'm glad.
Call him in now for your free reading.
Miss Cleo jokes never get old. some people probably don't even know who Miss Cleo is. If they're if there's some of our younger listeners, if we have younger listeners, I don't know.
They could be really young though.
True, but I could think of a few people who may not know. I guess we can get into our I recommend section, which we've decided to cut back to just one a week and just take turns picking because it just saves us time and effort, not only on the recording, but having to watch, like, I pick a TV show, and Stuart picks a TV show, and Henry picks a movie, and we have to watch, a movie and then a few episodes of two different TV shows.
Yeah.
So it basically, and we can spend more time talking about the specific thing. But, what I picked was a documentary, actually produced by Netflix, by a company that Netflix owns,
yep.
Which I was shocked when I saw the beginning. I was like, Netflix makes movies?
This was actually one of the first movies that was on my queue when I first got Netflix.
And it's Confessions of a Superhero. And basically it's covering four, street performers, I don't know if you would, that's kind of a stretch to call them street performers. They basically just they dress up like superheroes and they take pictures and they say they're like, oh, we work on tips. And, you have one guy who's Superman, who's uberly obsessed with Superman.
This dude looks just like Christopher Reeves.
Yeah. And it's crazy
aside
because
from his body, from the neck up, he looked like Christopher Reeves.
Definitely. And it's so crazy because he has so much Superman memorabilia in only like 4 years.
Yeah, that was sad.
He's got more than some people have who have been collecting for 20 years. I think he said, oh, I probably have $1 million worth of Superman memorabilia.
Right.
Yeah, in 4 years.
I'm like, and he makes money taking pictures on the streets?
Yeah, and he's
what the hell does his wife do? His wife must be banking. But or girlfriend, I forgot whether they were married or not.
Yeah,
but
it's a girlfriend, I believe.
They got married during it.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and he was dressed like Superman. He was dressed like Superman.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
When it got to that part, I was like, really? Really? Actually, I'm not that surprised.
And when they introduced her, she said that she was a psychologist.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, And then when it explained, like, how much obsessed he is, I'm like, and she's not doing anything about it?
Exactly.
Well, she's looking at it like, oh, I could study him and write papers and and go down in the history books. Exactly. Hell yeah. But, and then you have, I guess, the guy who dresses up like Batman, who, you know, again, he looks like another, he looks like George Clooney a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see the way he looked like George Clooney. It's just his hair. His hair looked nothing like...
Yeah, there was something off about him.
His hair had some funny coloring to it. But I could definitely tell, you know, that he looked like George Clooney once he said something. But, and that dude was just weird.
I don't believe a thing that he said.
Yes, he's like the kid in school who's always like, oh yeah, I've got... you know, this and this, and I've done this, and, you know, the kid at school would always lie all the time to try to impress people, you know. And some of the stuff he was saying was so ridiculous. I've done stuff that I regret so much. I've killed a man, I've done such and such, and...
I worked for the mob.
Yeah, I mean...
I was a collector for the mob. Like, really? And you suck at martial arts.
Horrible.
Because he said, I have a black belt in this, 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 and this. And then it showed him doing the martial arts, and he sucked.
Well, I think maybe that was he was learning a different martial arts. He was learning something new.
No, I think he just sucked.
No.
Because that look, what he was doing, it looked like Taekwondo. And did he have a black belt in Taekwondo? I don't think that was one of the things he had. I could be wrong, but yeah, he didn't seem like he was too, you know, whatever. But he was definitely one of the weird, you know, characters of the bunch. I guess next you got the guy, the black guy who dresses like the Hulk.
I felt sorry.
Because
he was in that suit. Man.
Yeah, definitely. When it was like 100, he was like, I just passed out. I'm like, what? Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you know, that's the hardest superhero to try to pull off, especially trying to do it on the street, because you can't use makeup because it'll melt off in that sun. I mean, you can't, I don't even think that you can actually have your shirt off, can you? In like public or something like that?
If you got the suit on, yeah, you could have your shirt off and just have the suit. But no, you'd have to wear just that suit.
Yeah.
And see, that's where it would get hard, like when it's really hot outside. But it's a lot easier just to throw on a suit and not have to, you know, worry about, you know, curling your hair just the right way, like Superman, yeah. Like the guy who dressed up like Superman did.
And, yeah.
Hairspray and blow drying, and you know that dude could just time to go be the Hulk. You know, wake up, put the suit on, walk out.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that how he when he went back and showed that he was homeless and where he would sleep at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, man.
That was pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, it just amazes me how these people can be so passionate and so, you know, driven to do this one thing, which is portraying these fictitious characters, but they can't even take a little bit of that motivation to their real life, you know? Like, it just boggles my mind that, you know, that...
Well, the guy who does the Hulk, he got a role in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
that's what they're all knockoff on Kung the street Fu. To do.
Yeah,
like they're all on the street for somebody to say, "You come here. You're perfect for this role," which I can't see that happening. I'm sorry, I can't see that happening.
Oh, I don't either. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm saying, but I mean, if that's your enthusiasm, you know, go ahead and do it. But I mean, you have a real life that you can go back to, that you can take care of stuff like. Let that be your weekend thing, or a couple of days out of the week type thing. But you know, I mean, there's no way that I would be doing that, you know, full time, because and they get mad when people don't tip them. But technically, you're not even a professional.
Well, some of them get mad. That's the Superman dude. He acts just as noble as Superman.
Yeah, no,
it's just crazy. I mean, he's like, oh well, tips are optional. They don't have to pay us. They don't have to pay us. And he's all, oh, you shouldn't be smoking. You're a superhero. You shouldn't be smoking in costume. And I'll never smoke in, you know. And I'm like, wow, he's really.
Yeah,
acts
really
like
into it.
Wow, that's just. But
what was really funny is that there was a scene later where it showed Batman. He was like, "Yeah, we work for tips. Yeah, tips. Hey, give me tips."
And he went to jail for that.
No. He went to jail because he tried to use a porta potty that was being. That was rented out to a union.
Yeah, but they also said he was hassling people for.
That's what Elmo and Mr. Incredible went to jail for.
I know, but they also said he was hassling people as well. They got complaints about that as well. But and you could see him, like you saw him hassle, like you said.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But the fourth and final person, which I was was a little surprised, was this chick who dressed like Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And she didn't look that bad either.
No, she's kind of hot.
Yeah, and so, something like that, you know, where they're talking about how much money they make, and I could see her making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tourists wanted to take pictures, you know, with a hot chick who looks like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, but a woman can automatically probably make more money doing something like that because, of course, they're appealing. I mean, you know, to the eyes, to the senses and stuff like that. I mean, because I don't think that it would be terribly hard for a woman to dress up in anything, you know, remotely skimpy and call yourself, I don't know, Strawberry Woman, and people still take pictures and give you tips.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, 300 pounds.
Right.
Definitely.
Then it'd be a little hard.
And she was talking about making like $300 to $500 a day.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see her making Batman, not so much. The Hulk, no. Superman, not that much, but probably a good amount. It's definitely interesting. I basically just had it on my queue and I watched it and didn't know really what to expect, and I really enjoyed it. Henry, you said you had it on your queue. Have you watched it before, or did you just have it on your queue and never got around to it till?
Oh no, I had watched it before. That was like one of the first. That was like when Netflix was first on the Xbox 360, and there was like nothing on Instant Queue. Like just pretty much movies that were on there. They just threw on there a couple of documentaries, but. That was what I watched it. I watched it once and I got about halfway through it. And then, I watched it again. I watched the whole thing. And then I recently watched it again when we decided to watch it.
Stuart, is this fresh for you or?
Yeah, I had seen it, but I just didn't pick it. I mean, I'd seen it in, you know, in the documentary section, but I just never watched it.
Yeah, I actually found it from just searching like comic books and superheroes and trying to find something, like see if a new animated series had come out or something on Instant Watch. And I found it and I was like, huh, this seems interesting.
Yeah.
I rather enjoyed it. It was definitely entertaining. I guess, you know, definitely check it out. Like we said, it's on Netflix Instant Watch. So it's not too long. It's not too long. It's like 90 minutes, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's not long at all. It's not like most documentaries. It's kind of getting it out.
Towards the end, I was like, "Is it over yet?"
Oh, really? I just found it interesting. The whole thing.
It was enjoyable. I'm like, this is getting long.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, it did have some very dull moments. 93 minutes. Okay. And it came out in 2007, so this was a while ago. But yeah, next, I guess is our geek question of the week.
Yeah. You know, in kind of the, you know, podcasting for 1 year, like kind of, if you had one day to live, what would you do?
Sounds very familiar. Sounds like something I heard on a different podcast. Maybe with an enraged letter carrier, maybe?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know.
But
an irate baggage handler, maybe?
I think this is really... I was kind of disappointed in this question because I think everyone's answer is going to be pretty typical.
Somewhat.
Spending time with their families and loved ones, and I think that's basically going to be the gist of everybody's answers, because I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, I'd sell all my shit and go straight to the strip clubs. I don't think you're going to have people. I don't think you're going to have people saying stuff like that. I pretty much think it's, you know, spending time with the loved ones, you know, writing stuff down for if you have children for them to read when they get older, and basically just, you know, spending time with the people you care about the most. That's my answer.
Yeah. I'm pretty much the same way. I probably would I know a lot of people say they write letters and do stuff like that or whatever, but I would just make a video account of that whole day, you know, because I try my best, with the exception of work. I probably would quit my job, though. I would quit my job that day and just enjoy that day with my family, make love to my wife, just record all the events of that entire day and just tell my son, because he's not anywhere near where he can formulate memories yet. He's only a year old. So I would just record everything that I could of me to let him know that, you know, hey, you know, daddy loves you, you know, mom is still here. You know, just everything, man. I would just pass down, you know, different stuff, man. Just praise God and just, I mean, do everything normally that I do, but just do it even more and just record a whole video account of that day. And, yeah. You know?
No, already. Stuart, your question?
Okay. I guess I'm kind of the oddball from everybody then. I mean, yeah, you know, I live in a very loving family. I live with my parents. I have a large family, you know, large extended family. I see them a bunch. So I always wanted to travel. I just have never gone far. You know, I've been, you know, Chicago, I've been Florida, I've been Canada once, you know, I just haven't gone to a lot of places. I would want just, you know, kind of get in my car and drive west. So I've never been across the Mississippi, never been past it.
Oh, wow.
And I'd just keep going west to Japan, and keep going, end up, you know, all through Asia, go through... You know, you end up in Europe.
In your car?
Yes. Yes, in the magic car. I don't know if that's actually possible to do it in one day.
You get to the Pacific Ocean and it automatically transforms into a submarine.
Yeah. I would just travel because I've never been anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things I would like to do, you know, if I had that opportunity. Or, you know, if I was only going to, you know, I could sell all my stuff for money and go and do all kinds of stuff. But I just get to the point where I think about it's not fair to my family to just leave them and just, you know, my last day not to be with them. Their last moment, you know, I couldn't do that to my family. That's the only way I look at it.
But I see Stuart's point too.
I do see his point, but I'm just saying I couldn't do that personally because I would just feel guilty and I don't know. I'd feel bad, but I guess in the end you're gonna be dead. So
I'll just bring him with me then.
No, see, there we go.
That'd be cool to experience it together too. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But alrighty.
I think that question, just to kind of, you know, touch on, you know, just one more thing. I think that question is so cool because it actually makes you sit, like, if you sit up and think about that question and really question yourself and just say, okay, am I doing whatever I can do for my own happiness and for the happiness of my family and others around me? And it kind of, you know, it's really what I take from it. It's really a self motivational tool because, you know, we could die any time. You know, we don't know, you know, when our appointed time is going to come, when we're going to, you know, expire. So, you know, it kind of behooves us to, you know, pursue that happiness, you know, that makes you happy and, you know, kind of pass that to everyone else. You know, it's kind of, I mean, it's a real good motivational question, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, December 31st, 2011, that'll be everyone's last day, right?
Right.
No, actually, I heard it was December 10th, 2012. That was the actual day.
Oh,
man. Oh, okay. Whatever. But yeah, my point, 2012, that's when everyone's last day will be.
That's not when everybody goes green. That's
yeah, right.
The end of the way we live. Not everybody dies, but the way we live.
It's no, big oil will not allow that to happen that quick.
No, that's when you'll be paying Al Gore for your guilt, for your carbon credit.
Yeah, the man invented the internet. Some people will get that joke. Some people will be scratching their heads. But we have feedback.
Yeah, 6 people all saying similar things. On Twitter, you know, Zabari, play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 all day. Just kidding. Something family oriented.
Playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 with your family.
Yeah.
No. No one's a bar. He'd play like Monday Night Combat.
Okay. Lasberry. I'd run a 40. Again, just kidding. Spend time with the family.
Already?
From page to screen. I'd sit on a hill and look at nature. Write notes to the people I care about. It wouldn't take long.
Already?
And then we move over to Facebook. Jason Borlett, or videos. Have a party, invite everyone I love, have a large camera crew recording everything. Then I would spend the last few hours with my family.
Alrighty.
Anthony Alex, I would spend all day with my wife and kids, videotaping everything. Give them all advice and kind words in the limited time. And I would express to them my faith in them and in God. And then last one, Lindsay Jones. I would spend half the day with my boyfriend and then the other half with my best friend.
Hmm. That's interesting.
There you go.
Which half, though?
Yeah.
That would be a tough thing to do. It's like, if, you know, best friend and your significant other or whatever, trying to pick which half, how you want to end your day with. I could see that being a... Oh, what?
I was going to say, knowing her, I would guess the first half would be with that best friend and the last day would be with the boyfriend.
Yeah. But that's just, it's really a question that just, it really brought me in a, you know, a down place, honestly. Because you're thinking, wow, only 24 hours, you know, only 24 hours, what, you know, you could, you know, spend time with your family. You could do, you know, a variety of different things, but, you know, a lot of activities would take out a big chunk of time, and time is so precious. So
yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to watch a movie, you know, that's like 2, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah. That's probably the reason why, that's what I was saying. Like, I would just go around and just do stuff, you know, but I would record it because, you know, I'm going to be, you know, dead anyway. So just pass it down to everybody else so they can see the last account, you know?
Yeah.
And that goes back to video games too. So that's the reason why you know, we always see audio logs and audio files by dead bodies in video games. Cause they know they're about to die. So they just write everything down or they record everything.
Exactly.
Oh, Wow, never thought about it like that. Oh, that's funny. But, yeah, I guess, tune in for the variety of different ways to get the Geek Question of the Week. You got Facebook, you know, search the Geeks for the Win. You got Twitter, you know, twitter.com/TheGeeksFTW. Those are the ways you can, you know, see the questions. Normally they're posted before the weekend. So, you know, we tweeted often throughout the weekend and before that, depending on when it's tweeted out. And, you know, you can send feedback, you know, your answers that way or variety of different ways, you know. You can leave a message on our voice line at 1-347-GEEK-FTW, or that's 1-347-433-5389, because I know a lot of, I know the Geek FTW is very clever, but, you know, some phones, the buttons are different, or you have a touchscreen phone where you just see you don't see the letters and the numbers, so you can send us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com, you know, like Henry said earlier, you know, any hate, you know, you can send to us, or any you know, positive feedback, you know.
If you send in hate mail, make it critical. Don't just say, yes, you guys suck. tell us why.
Yeah, and be thoughtful about it. Like, I mean, it's okay to have criticism, but explain yourself cognitively, please.
Yes, and if you have any negative feedback, please send an email. If you have positive feedback, you can leave us an iTunes review. If you don't have any positive feedback, please don't leave us an iTunes review.
Well, you know what? If you have negative
unless
feedback,
it's 5 stars and it's.
Yeah, just pretend that it's opposite day and just pick 5 stars. And that means that we're horrible.
Just pick 5 stars and then say, you suck. You know, if anything, it'll get people, you know, confused, and it'll get people confused and interested enough to listen to see whether we suck or we don't. But, and, you know, you can also check out the Ustream. We do our recording live, Monday at 7:30 Central Standard, 8:30 Eastern. What's that? 5:30 Pacific?
Yes.
Something like that crazy time frame.
And 6:30 Mountain Time? Honestly, I've had so many gaming friends, but I've never witnessed anyone, you know, in Mountain Time.
I haven't either.
Yeah, me either.
It's always been Pacific, Eastern, or Central. But, you know, yeah. I guess there are some people in Mountain Time. That's the weirdest one of all, Mountain Time. But, yeah, normally Monday at, you know, we 7:30 Eastern or 7:30 Central Standard, 8:30 Eastern. And, you know, you can see, you know, sometimes we take breaks and or sometimes we'll talk afterwards or before or whatever. Basically behind the magic, I like to say. Because the real magic is editing. I guess now it's shout outs. Henry, shout outs.
Shout out to, like I said, typical, my wife, my family. Shout out to Anthony Alex of the Angry Mailman podcast. Brother is cool. Shout out to, Scarfinger. Shout out to Sherry. Hope you're getting better. Shout out to David, which is Scoba. Hope your family's good. Hope you're also doing well. Shout out to anybody that I miss in the community. Shout out to Blue Man Rule. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to Fadios. Shout out to Ace Black. Shout out to everybody who has befriended me on the PS3. I'm up to a whole 6 friends now. So hooray for me!
Wow, you're about to pass my friends list.
Right.
I think I have 7.
Shout out to everybody at Bizarre Creations. Hope you guys are doing well. Praying for you guys to find a job, because I'm hoping that Microsoft will see you guys again and pick you guys up, because a lot of studios are closing down. Shout out to the Guitar Hero people. just everybody in the industry that has lost their job in one way or another. I wish you guys all the best sincerely. I don't know each and every one in individual, but I do follow a bunch of you guys on Twitter. Just shout out to everyone in the industry who's making games, podcasting about games, in communities, on forums, from the biggest to the smallest. Shout out to the world.
Yes. Poor Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
That's the biggest upsetment of all, you know, recently with Guitar Hero, they weren't really doing anything innovative. They were just copying Rock Band. After, you know, a couple years, they would take what Rock Band did. But Bizarre Creations, you know, Geometry Wars was so good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Also means no Blur too.
Yeah. Blur was really good. I think a lot of people got their Blur fix with the beta.
Yeah, and it's just like Activision just let it just go by the wayside, just like they did Singularity. Like, those two games were actually really good games, just that Activision just, they're so-called duty-focused, and they just do not care. And, you know, I mean, those games didn't get their just due. And, you know, it's an industry of just dog-eat-dog, man. Like, if you make, you know, one flop, that's the potential of you losing your entire job or your entire studio. Or your entire development company because you made a game that wasn't massively appealing to, you know, the senses of game buyers. So
you only sold 3 million copies versus Call of Duty's 12 million.
I know, right? So you're a failure.
But I guess Stuart, shout outs.
You know, usual shout outs. You know, shout out to the OFR guys, shout out to Tag guys, shout out to the writers on the site, Knox, Elf. Cookie. And shout out to Marvel for having an awesome subscription fee and unlimited digital comics. And shout down to DC for not having something like that. Because they have, you know, you have to pay like $1.99 for each individual issue.
Microtransaction.
Ugh.
Yeah. For me, I guess, shout out to Amazon for giving unlimited streaming to Prime members. sadly, my account does not qualify because I'm a student, but my mom's got an account, so I can use that. and I definitely plan on watching some older Doctor Who's because, like I said, they have like all of them, from the very first one to the new ones. It's pretty crazy.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Never said I was going to start with the very first, but, shout outs to, Blue Man and for basically, you know, I'm going to be able to crash with him at PAX East. So that's awesome. After a long time of tweeting and kind of begging people to let me sleep on their floors.
Yeah.
Found him.
You found somebody the week before.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks before, technically, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what the community's for, man.
Definitely. And I was getting worried for a second. But, shout outs to everybody on Twitter. You know, everyone who's, whenever something's wrong, they're always concerned, you know, oh, we'll pray for you, hope everything gets better. You know, just you guys know who you are. There's just too many to name out right now. But thanks. I definitely appreciate it. And I guess shout outs to Matt from OFR because I guess every gamer in the world or every gamer almost is extra large or bigger. And I'm not. I wear a medium and I can fit into a large. And he has a large Killzone 3 t-shirt, and he was trying to give it away. Nobody wanted it, so I guess I won it by default because I fit it. And I had said before, you know, I'm not going to enter it because I want someone else, you know, to win it. Someone who's not part of a podcast host in the OFR community, but I guess nobody claimed it. So I'll be getting that in the mail sometime. So I guess sometimes, guys. I guess it pays sometimes to be, you know, well, it's not the fact that I'm uberly skinny. It's that I'm kind of short. I'm not that tall. That's the thing.
I'm tall and fat. All right.
my torso is smaller than my my legs. My legs are most my height, but that's not for this podcast. anyways, that's been episode 34, and you know, this is our second year of podcasting starting now, so look forward to better quality, I guess. we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Adios.